coming to you live, but not really live, from Gut Check World Headquarters in the capital city of a boxing glove-shaped state, and Gut Check South Command, deep in the belly button above the buckle of the Bible Belt, it's the Gut Check Podcast, with your hosts, Ted Pluck and Zach Bartles.
Hey, welcome to the Gut Check Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friend and my bi-weekly curious friend, Zachary Bartles. And Zach, we are nothing if not bi-weekly, bi-men of our word, in that we are doing radio religiously every 2 weeks. And I don't know about you, but I feel reinvigorated by this schedule. I feel good. It feels good to like just take the guesswork out of it and know that every couple of weeks, we're going to be on the air together. We're going to be recording. We're going to be making radio history. And it's good to be back on the airwaves with you, my friend.
What's very funny is that someone reminded me that, like, in episode 2 or 3, we said that it would be biweekly. So it just took us a while to get around to it.
That's right. Actually, it took us about 7 years to, like, become men of our word finally. But we're here. And we're excited, man. We're not going anywhere either, Zach, as you helpfully pointed out in the last episode. So here's how today is going to go. We have had an outpouring, and when I say an outpouring, I mean that it really does make me feel good, man. People are nice, but apparently people on my Facebook just kept the questions pouring into you, so we're going to churn through some more of those questions today, and we'll pop out from time to time to hit some other topics and just see where the program takes us. And baby, without further ado, let's get into these things. We don't have any sponsors or anything we have to worry about today along those lines, except to go to LagarusRoasters.com, get a bag of Gut Check Signature Blend Coffee, Gut Check Espresso. It will be the best coffee you've ever tasted. And baby, fire away. What do you have for me over there?
All right. Joseph Bartlett asks, what is the best animated superhero movie and why is it The Incredibles?
Oh, okay. I see what he did there. That was a cleverly worded question, wasn't it, Zachary?
It doesn't seem like it was worded with you in mind.
It doesn't.
Feel like you care at all about animated superhero movies, but okay.
Do you feel like Joseph knows me at all, or do you?
Do you know Joseph?
What was his last name?
Bartlett.
No, I do not know Joseph Bartlett.
Yeah, that's not a clever pseudonym for me either.
No, I do not. I have not had the pleasure of making his acquaintance, and I got to tell you, help me, Zach, think through what the animated superhero movies are, because I'm thinking of The Incredibles, which Joseph Bartlett mentioned, and then zero other ones.
There's one other one that I know you've seen, which was really good, called Big Hero 6, with like the big marshmallow guy.
Yeah, I liked that. That was a fun one. What else? Are there any other ones?
Well, there's if this question had been for me, I would have said it's definitely Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, but I don't think you've seen that. Have you seen that one?
I've not seen it. No,
that's pretty cool.
You know what we could do, and this is just the kind of magnanimous good friends that we are. I could make this question for you, in that I could just come clean with Joseph Bartlett right now and saying that I really don't care at all about superhero animated movies.
More of a Toy Story 4 kind of guy.
I'm more of a Toy Story 4 guy, which we could talk about later, and we should. But I do like The Incredibles, though, for what it's worth. I think they're really clever. They're really well done. They're fun movies. Now, they're not the kind of movies that, like, I'm not just throwing them in. I'm not just choosing The Incredibles. In fact, I think my best, most rewatchable, like, animated kids movie is the Wes Anderson one.
The Fox one?
Yeah.
Mr. Fox?
The Fantastic Mr. Fox. Great, great movie. You know why I got sidetracked there for a minute, baby?
What's that?
I'm looking out my window.
And your stalker's outside?
And my stalker's outside. A nice Scottish gentleman. A little bit older, you know, tastefully dressed. No. It's a, what do you call those birds that just sort of like hover by the flower and they stick their beaks in there?
Yeah, hummingbird.
Yeah, a hummingbird. I got two hummingbirds right now, like going to town on this huge like thing of flowers outside my window.
Dude, it's like Dow Gardens there by your house, man.
Maybe
it's crazy.
It is. It's nature. The magic of nature. It's a wonderful thing. So yeah, The Incredibles and the Wes Anderson one for me, The Fantastic Mr. Fox. What about for you, baby? What is it for you?
Well, I would have to go that Spider-Man one, definitely. And man, I'd get into like embarrassingly nerdy stuff. I like Batman Under the Red Hood. That was a good one.
Okay.
You know what? I'm not going to participate because it's not that kind of podcast. I'll save that nerdy stuff for These Go to 11.
Maybe you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do on this podcast.
Scratch that. I'm going to go ahead and just say it's Avatar The Last Airbender, which I was kind of forced into watching recently, okay, semi against my will, and was stinking amazing.
Who forced you to watch it?
Like everybody who listens to these go to 11.
Oh, okay.
They had all gotten together before and watched it, I think. And
is that a more like kind of like nerd stuff oriented podcast?
Yeah. We definitely hover toward or are kind of drawn toward the nerd stuff more frequently than you or I would. Kind of like, you know, I mean, we might bump into that once in a while. We might talk about boxing once in a while. But if you're going to talk about sports, it's going to be with Barney Piper.
Sure.
And if I'm going to talk about nerd stuff, at least at length or really assessing it, digging into it, it's probably going to be with Nate, the purple
belt. Dude, isn't it funny how certain things, and you can like add insight to this, how certain things qualify as nerd stuff and other things don't? Like, for example, and we don't have to talk about this now, or we could, I viewed Toy Story 4 last night. Toy Story 4 is an animated movie. Definitely doesn't like fit into the camp or category of nerd stuff. You know what I mean? But it's but it's an animated picture.
But it's not based on a comic book, I think, is the thing.
There
it's
you
not,
go.
This, okay. this really like, I don't know. I feel like the nerd category is kind of, it's sort of like alternative music in the 90s. When you'd walk into like Sam Goody. Remember Sam Goody?
Dude, and yes, I love Sam Goody.
You'd go, or like FYE. Remember how there's still an FYE in our mall when we went there to get Rocky IV?
Absolutely.
And you'd look and it'd be like rock and roll, right? Rock and or roll, and then and then like four times bigger than that was alternative rock, and you're like, I don't think this is the alternative anymore. I think it may now be the main thing.
I think your rock and roll section is actually the alternative.
Yeah, like $92 of every 100 that were made in the past 5 years at a movie theater have been quote unquote nerd subculture related stuff. If you're throwing a broad net, you know. And so I think it's kind of lost all distinction. And people aren't embarrassed about it. It's like it was a time when I did a wedding and they were like, listen, we met on Match.com or eHarmony or one of these, but we don't want anyone to know because it's really embarrassing nerd stuff. And now I'm like, okay, how'd you meet? Oh, internet. No, okay, whatever.
Yeah, now it's kind of like you're a nerd if you meet the old-fashioned way.
It's like, I was at a bar and I walked up to her. Oh, this is so embarrassing.
Yeah, how quaint, you know.
I didn't swipe any particular direction.
Exactly. Baby, should we talk about Toy Story 4?
Dude, it's your program. Let's talk about whatever you want to talk about, man.
So I saw it last night and I cried four times. every one in the franchise. Yeah, every. Well, and a couple of things occurred to me, man. It was crazy. So watching this movie, it occurred to me that the very first installment of this thing came out in 1995.
I saw it with my wife on a snow day from school.
Yeah, dude, I was 19 freaking years old when this thing came out. I was a child myself. And in 1995, like, kids played with actual toys still, which is kind of amazing. And, like, you know, only like, unrepentant D-bags had cell phones. It was, like, the big bag phone the guys who drove, like, Porsches would have in their cars. You know, the world was a very different place in 1995, and that's when these movies dropped. And then now I'm watching this thing and I'm going, I'm in my 40s. My kids are teenagers. Like it really hit me hard, man.
Is that what made you cry? It was kind of more like an existential crisis of your own. It was not really all that related to the plot.
Dude, it was kind of related to the plot in that. Okay. So the plots of these Toy Story movies, they're all about like, moving on. You know what I mean? Like somebody's always moving on. Somebody's always getting tired of a certain toy.
Yeah.
And like either passing it down or like just parting ways from it, which is, if you think about it, like a really sad subject matter. You know what I mean? Yeah. It wrecks me too, man, whether the item in question is like a real person or a toy or whatever. So I think as a parent, those movies always invite you to think about like the changing nature of your relationship with your kid and how they don't need you like they needed you before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my guys are old enough now where like we're everything's clicking with my guys at a really high level now. And I'm probably enjoying them more than I've ever enjoyed them in my life. But I can also see that like their childhood is kind of coming to an end in a lot of ways. And,
you're the Woody waiting for like the chance to like spend 20 minutes like you used to playing.
Well, dude, exactly. Yeah, I'm Woody. I'm like, you know, waiting to get picked or whatever. And man, yeah, that just that whole motif like wrecked me. And I know they do it on purpose, right? Like there's nothing
to
accidental
be
about
yeah.
that. And I think they do it almost as a way to like, I don't know, almost as a catharsis for the audience. I can't really envision any other way because it's the rare Disney movie that doesn't go political or social. Like there are very few agendas that are visible in those movies. And, you know, the movie is charming too, because it was like, if you want to see what it looked like for people to play, like without phones, this is what it looked like. Like nobody was on a tablet or a smartphone for the duration of Toy Story 4. I don't know. It was just kind of fascinating, man. It was almost like a time capsule, you know, in 1995 when those things started, you know, they kind of just kept that world and they never really progressed into like, you know, toddlers playing with their mom's smartphones as they waited at the doctor's office or whatever. I don't know. It was really, it was charming and sad all at the same time, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Now, I'm curious.
Yeah.
How did you find yourself at a theater watching this? Because, like, I know you don't go to
yeah.
a theater a lot. And I, like yeah. you said, you're not going to choose a Pixar movie. I can't
yeah.
imagine the scenario in which you are like, oh, yeah, Toy Story 4, I'm all in.
Well, dude, I'll tell you exactly how it went down. So my in-laws were in town for a couple days, and without getting into all the ins and outs of that complex relationship, let's just say that sometimes with in-laws, you reach that point where you're like, oh my gosh, we just got to get through the hours. You know what I mean? Like we got to chew up some chunks of time here, and we got a big gaping maw of time that we just have to fill somehow. So
what do we do between meals out, right?
Dude, right, what do we do between meals out? Exactly. So taking Maxim and the in-laws to see Toy Story 4 seemed like a sensible thing to do, and that's exactly how we ended up there.
Let me suggest that if we didn't have the podcast,
yeah,
I wonder, like, when I visited you or you visited me,
uh-huh,
I know that, like, when the four of us are together, we would sit and smoke cigars and
yeah.
you know, just talk.
Yeah.
And, like we used to. I mean, we were friends for years and years before
yeah.
The podcast. But, like...
Still friends.
The thing is, like, when you visit, as an adult, you visit a friend.
Yeah.
That's out of town.
Yeah.
There sometimes is just a little too much time. And
yeah.
so, like, I think the podcast, like, breaking it up by episodes... kind
yep.
of almost creates kind of that grid.
Uh-huh.
And then, Ted, I got to admit, I've never thought of doing this before.
Yeah.
But it seems natural and normal for you and your wife to have people come visit when you haven't taken time off work.
Yeah.
And so there's like a natural, like, well, I'm going to be teaching these classes during this time. And it
yeah.
actually kind of puts a nice break in. So you're not like locked in two
yeah.
people, you know, in a house. Or
yeah.
trying to figure out what to do for 4 days in a row.
Dude, it's so true. And I think what you just described is the nature of like having an academic job where you do have a lot of time off. The time off comes in the summer. It comes in a big chunk at spring break. And then again, like over the Christmas holiday. But as a result of that, I really don't quote unquote take time off any other time. And, you know, we constantly have people coming to visit. And when they do, it's just like, okay, I gotta go teach some classes. Like, I gotta be gone. And for me, like, for an introvert, it's really helpful because it just gives me a little time away to, like, recharge. Whereas, yeah, summer break, the in-laws are here. And it's the kind of deal where it's just, like, the father-in-law especially. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt they're not going to listen to this. So I feel like this is not problematic. But he just sort of, like, comes out for breakfast in the morning, sets up shop, and you've been to my house, Zach, you know what I'm talking about, on that sofa in the living room, and it's just like, he's there, man. It's like, hey, entertain me, you know, here I am. I'm blathering at you a little bit. I'm saying some stuff that's crossing my mind. I'm like, maybe I want you to turn on ESPN, which I'm going to listen to at 4,000 decibels because I'm kind of going deaf. And I mean, it's just a lot, man. It's a whole lot. So,
folks, yeah. This has been stuff you're never going to hear because Ted will definitely text me later this afternoon telling me to cut it out.
Dude, I don't think I'm gonna. I don't think I'm gonna because I'm pretty sure they're not gonna listen.
You don't know
so,
what a podcast is, dude. I
yeah.
tell you, man, people, and I'm in my 40s. I
yeah.
feel like people in the 50s and older, on balance, are like,
yeah.
does that make sense? On average, whatever,
yeah.
are like, yeah, I don't know what that is, and I don't want to figure it out. Like a
dude,
podcast. I'll tell them, like, yeah, it's a podcast. And they're like, yeah, nope, no chance.
unless we sell the rights to the show to Moody Radio between now and like next Tuesday, they're not listening.
Which deal is in the works?
It is in the works. We have, yeah, full disclosure. We've had some discussions with the good people at Moody Radio. They want us to stop smoking cigars and talking about caffeine. You know, if we're willing to do that, I think we've got a sale in the works. But yeah, dude, that's how we ended up in the theater. And I actually think, like, our world, Zach, is so cynical, and those movies are so earnest. Like, I think it provides like a cathartic moment for people where you kind of step away from complaining about Trump on Twitter or whatever it is that you do as an outlet for your cynicism, and the movie just kind of like gives you permission to be sentimental, I guess.
Yeah, and those have always been just the right kind of like just enough cut to the,
yeah,
you know, like it's like eight parts pure actual nostalgia slash earnestness, yep, and then just a little of the kind of sarcastic stuff that really permeates a lot of even what Pixar is doing lately.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Even though it's a sweet movie, the family dynamics in, say, The Incredibles 2,
yeah,
they're more like a modern television show where everyone's kind of just like with each other.
Yeah, exactly, man. Although, you're so right.
Have you seen Inside Out?
I have not, man, but I heard it's good. Somebody was telling me about that.
Right, that's now another one that will serve the same function for you. And you will cry.
Is it a cartoon also?
That. Yeah, yeah, and it's got Amy Poehler's voice, the lady who does Phyllis on The Office, Mindy Kaling,
wow,
Bill Hader, and Lewis Black. So it's like, it's great. It's the emotions are like creatures. And it sounds like, yeah, every Pixar movie, it sounds dumb and I avoid it until I have to see it and then go,
sure,
dang, that's amazing. Why didn't I want to watch that?
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Dude, we better get back to some questions here, though.
Yeah, let's get to some questions, man. Let's do some questions.
I'm going to throw you three real quick, all right?
Yeah, lay them on me.
Jed Duke, what is currently your favorite cigar?
Currently my favorite cigar? Now, Zach, here's the thing, a little nuance here. There's the answer that will make me look cool, and then there's the actual answer.
Okay.
And so I'm going to give both of them, all right? If people want to think of me as like a cool person, they can think of me in that way. But then if they want to think of the real me, they can go that route too. So the cool answer is as follows. I did a speaking engagement in Miami a few years ago called El Lector with our good friend Ruiz. And
always on the list.
One of the guys that came to that event was Jack Tarano of the Tarano Cigar Family. And Jack was a great dude, a lot of fun. We had some laughs. We corresponded a little bit afterward. And when I was like going to smoke shops and buying cigars in the intervening years, I would always try to get Tarano's just to like, I don't know, just throw a nod of loyalty to Jack and the great Tarano Cigar Family. That's the cool answer. The actual answer is, I've been ordering pretty cheap, like, boxes of cigars online, and I found one that I really liked that you smoked a few of when you were here, and they're just called C'est la vie, spelled in the French fashion, and they're very cheap. It's like a light shade wrapper, and they're just really smooth, kind of sweet smokes, man, and I love smoking them, so there you go.
That's good to buy in bulk, you know?
It is good to buy in bulk, and dude, I gotta tell you, like, And I don't know, I'm not to go super cheap here, but like, ironically, I'm less financially strapped probably than I've ever been. But yeah, the thought of like going into a smoke shop and dropping $12 on a stick that I could get for pennies on the dollar online. Like, I just like to have them in bulk so that I can always have the smoke room stocked so that if friends come over, I can be generous with the cigars. You know what I mean? And I don't want people buying their own cigars when they come to the Arnold Kluck Smoking Lounge to have a smoke with me.
What's really nice is when Gutcheck can buy the cigars in the
Arnold
Kluck.
Dude, I love that.
Yeah.
And we can go to a kind of sketchy-looking gas station, but
yes,
then have incredible banter and service from the lady behind the counter.
That was a
treat. Dude, did I tell you? Probably not, because I don't think we've recorded since then. So you and I had that encounter at that gas station. And on Father's Day, actually, so Father's Day is on a Sunday, we went to church, went home, and then I took the boys out to like just an empty high school baseball field or whatever, and we played a bunch of home run derby and just hit baseballs and ran around.
Nice.
And had a great time, and it was really hot. So on the way home, they were like, Dad, can we stop and get a Gatorade? So we stopped at that same gas station and went up to the counter. Same lady, I don't think she remembered me from before, but I had my two boys with me. And she like gave the boys a sermon about how they should be thankful for me and they should be thankful to have a dad who like does stuff with them.
Aww.
And dude, it was incredible. And I was like, dude, I'm watching this thing going, man, I wish I was recording this. This is priceless. You know, and the boys were like, they're very polite. They're kind of like vibing with it. And then we got in the car and they were like, oh my gosh, that was so weird. You know, we're just trying to buy some Gatorades. But it was fantastic. I'm like a loyalty card member of that gas station now. That's the only place I'm ever going from here on out.
That gas station with the word bowling in the title because it is adjacent to a bowling alley.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like when they're like the Hilton at the airport. It's like the gas station at the bowling alley. All right.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it, man. Absolutely love it.
Oh, man. All right. So FX Turk asks, a good man is hard to find or a clean, well-lighted place?
Now, this is I want your interpretation of this, Zach, because you and I both know FX Turk, who's actually also Frank Turk.
Who's actually just Frank Turk, yeah.
Who's actually just Frank Turk. FX Turk, what is – okay, parse FX Turk. Like, what is he going for with that?
He did not want any longer to be confused with Frank Turek, and so he just lost the Frank, and I don't know. And I'm sure there's a story behind it.
Is Frank Turek like a real guy?
He was less famous than Turek at one point, up and coming apologist, radio, right, author, or whatever, all this stuff. And then at one point, like, it kind of exploded, and all of a sudden, people were like attributing things that he had said to Turek on Facebook and stuff. And it was just a little bit of confusion. He's a solid guy, and I know that Turek respects him, but, you know, who wants to be confused with someone else all the time?
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Okay, so you've parsed the name FX Turek. Now, I want you to parse what he's trying to accomplish with this question, because it's a nonsensical question that has no answer. But clearly he was going for like some sort of like cleverness points with this, I guess. So I want you to tell me what the angle was here.
I mean, we're talking Hemingway here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think what he's trying to do is maybe, you know how sometimes people are like, either you're a... You know, you're a Stones guy or a Beatles guy. You know, like everybody, you can boil them down to two different types of people using something semi-arbitrary. Maybe that's what he's doing. Like, it tells a lot about you which you prefer.
Okay. So that being said, I'm going to go with that because that's actually a really good explanation of the whole thing. So that being said, what was the question again?
A good man is hard to find or a clean, well-lighted place.
Oh, you know what? I bet those are like old movies. Do you think they're old movies? Can I Google this in my studio?
Google them. Yeah, I know. I know that I have read A Clean and Well-Lighted Place. I don't know what the world a good man is hard to find, other than it reminds me of A Hard Man is Good to Find, which was the like Soloflex tagline. Remember?
Dude, I love it. I love that you remember that as the Soloflex tagline. That's incredible.
I'm sure my English major wife is probably going to be like scoffing at both of us while she listens to this. But
dude, you know what I want for the fitness of our company? I want Soloflexes.
Do they make them anymore?
No, I want us to have like vintage 90s Soloflexes. Dude, at the risk of sounding super gay here, like the guy in that commercial was so ripped.
No, we decided he had something weird going on with like his...
Dude, he had a weird like concavity in like his abdomen, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a weird concavity. Oh, man.
Dude, this is shameful. What I've done here is a little bit of research in my studio. A good man is hard to find is by our favorite hot hipster, Zach, our hot retro hipster. Do you know who that is?
Who's it? Oh, Flannery O'Connor. Oh, good grief. I should know that.
Yeah, a good man is hard to find. And then what was the other one? I'm going to look the other one up.
A clean, well-lighted place.
Oh. This is a literary angle by Turk.
Yeah. I think Turk has probably accomplished what he wanted to, which was to look more well-read.
To look smarter than
you.
Than us. Yeah, to look smarter and more well-read than us. So mission accomplished, Turk.
You may be a college professor.
Dude, this is best-case scenario for Turk for this question. This is Apex Mountain right here.
Yeah, this is how he wanted it to go down.
This is exactly how he wanted it to go down. For us to be, like, not having a clue what he was talking about. Okay,
well, you know what? Why don't we do this? Let's just delete all that. And have you do a little analysis of the two stars. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, based on what I read off Wikipedia right now. You know what? I'm going A Clean, Well-Lighted Place by Hemingway. And here's why. It looks less depressing to me.
That's a pretty good bet. Although, I mean, you never... It's a crapshoot, but...
It is. Luck of the draw with those two. But A Clean, Well-Lighted Place looks like... And I'm just kind of interpreting the cover here. there's an old man in like a trench coat at a bar with like a couple of maitre d' looking guys behind him. I don't know. It looks promising to me. I feel like I would read that. Now, to be clear, Zach, I just want to be, again, very upfront with the audience. I'm not going to read either of these short stories. There's no way I'm reading anything by Flannery O'Connor, and I'm probably never going to actually read the Hemingway one, just because I don't care.
Wait a minute. I think I have read A Good Man is Hard to Find.
Okay.
Is that the one, and really the only Flannery O'Connor story I've read more than once,
yeah,
is the one with like the misfit, with like the really, really depressing one where they're like on a trip and there's there's a murderer and it's, yeah, you know, like all kinds of subtext. Is that, yeah, it? Or is that, I don't think that's it. I think that's a different one. I don't know.
I've read the one you're talking about though, because I went through a phase in the early 2000s when I was early in my, like, I'm a writer phase. And I was reading some Flannery O'Connor because I thought it would make me like cooler in the eyes of other writers.
Uh-huh.
And I hated every second of it, to be clear, but I did do it. I did put the time in. So I want people to know that I put the time in. So there it is.
Credit where credit is due. Yes.
Credit where credit's due. That's right. I read those books for entirely the wrong reasons and I hated every second, but I want credit for having done it. Doggone it.
All right. Sorry, Turk, that or congratulations, Turk. I mean,
no, congrats to Turk.
Yeah,
that was exactly what he wanted. Good job.
Andy Bell asks, if the movie detailing the rise of the Gutcheck Empire was made in the 90s,
whoa,
who would play you, Zach, Kristen, Aaron, Arnold Kluck, and Luke Wampus?
Oh my gosh, dude, this is the best question ever.
Very good.
I feel
question.
Like we could spend like 45 minutes on this question, no problem. So I want your input on this too. This is going to be a group. This is a group effort.
All right, yeah. Brain
so,
trust here.
First of all, I really want this movie to get made, but get made in the 90s.
kind of predicting what Gutcheck would
predicting,
be like.
Predicting, yeah.
In
kind of like
fashion.
A prequel. Yeah, right. man, okay. So who plays all of us, basically?
Now, you and I had already sussed this out with our cop movie.
Yeah, dude. Who did we pick?
I wanted Jake Johnson, and you wanted... Vince Vaughn, I think, right?
Okay. Dude, I could live with Vince Vaughn for me. I really could live with either 90s Vince Vaughn or now Vince Vaughn. If I was going real, like if I was just dreaming big, right? No parameters on this thing at all. I would go Brad Pitt.
90s Brad Pitt.
90s Brad Pitt. Or even like clever indie movie Brad Pitt. I could go with any of those Brads for me. So let's say any Brad Pitt for me. Dude, honestly, like, I could even go a little John Cusack for me. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Just don't go Ethan Hawke.
No, definitely not. Definitely not Ethan Hawke.
He's not built enough. And listen, where I'm going?
Yeah.
Christian Slater. I want Christian Slater to portray me.
Dude, I love that. I love that, dude. I love Christian Slater for you. This is good. Okay, so we got you and me taken care of. It's going to be Vince Vaughn or Brad for me. It's going to be Christian Slater for you. Let's do the girls, man. Let's do our ladies.
Yeah, yeah. Who do we want to cast as our respective wives?
Dude, honestly, like, and this is again, totally the 90s speaking, because I don't want the current version of either of these actresses, I don't think, but... For KK, I'm going either 90s Janine Garofalo, who I thought was super cute and funny. Super cute, super funny, super charismatic. Or 90s Lily Taylor. She was Lloyd Dobler's friend in Say Anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know Lily Taylor, yeah.
Who was actually way hotter and way more charismatic than the actual girl that Lloyd liked in that movie. So, yeah, either 90s Lily Taylor or 90s Janine Garofalo for KK.
I was always a little bit like, every time I watch it, I'm pulling for like, dude... She's hung up on Joe. She needs to move on.
Totally. You're,
you love each other in a platonic way. Have you even explored this? Because she's so much better than Diane Court.
Dude, it seemed like an obvious, elegant solution to me. You know, they already hung out a whole bunch anyway. It seemed like it would have just been a natural thing that they both would have thought of. I don't know why they didn't think of it. Maybe, like, in the off-screen universe of the movie, maybe they, like, tried it out at some point and it didn't work. I don't know. All right, so who's playing Aaron?
I'm thinking like 90s Winona Ryder, maybe.
Dude,
for
I like
Aaron.
That. I like
you
that.
You know, her hair was like the way I really liked Aaron's hair in the 90s.
Dude, and the good thing hair-wise about Winona Ryder, she can go short hair or long hair.
Yeah.
She's very versatile in that way. So, you know, you can decide if you want it to replicate shorter hair Aaron or longer hair.
And granted, this is definitely before Winona Ryder became exclusively hysterical in all
yes.
of her movies.
Before she just started screeching and caterwauling in her movies exclusively. I like it, dude. Pre-caterwauling Winona Ryder. This is good. Dude, who else was on that casting list? I feel like we still have work to do.
Yeah, so let's see here. We've got Kristen Aaron, Arnold Kluck, and Luke Wampus.
Ooh, Arnold Kluck, my grandpa, man. God rest his soul. All right, dude, you're going to have to help me out with some, like, awesome old guy actors from the 90s. Because I know there are some, but, like, I'm kind of blanking. Dude, could I go with, like, a Burt Lancaster? Just classic.
Yeah, yeah, that works.
Kind of baritone, classy old man, looks awesome in a suit.
Dude, whoever gives you the vibe that you actually picked up off the actual Arnold Kluck, that's who you want to cast there, right?
Dude, was Sinatra still alive in the 90s?
Ooh, I don't know. Not much of the 90s. Yeah.
Dude, if Sinatra was still alive, I'm going with Sinatra.
In I feel like maybe he died in like 92 or something, right?
Yeah, 92 or 89 or something like that. Yeah, so in lieu of Sinatra, let's go Burt Lancaster. Let's just keep it simple. I like that. Classy, classic, great voice, great presence. Burt Lancaster. Okay, so let's go 90s villain for Luke Wampus. I have an idea, but I feel like you're going to have some great ones for this, so I want to hear from you on it first.
Okay. I'm thinking Josh Brolin, Goonies.
Josh Brolin,
era. He's
dude.
A little later,
yes.
but...
His head's slightly too big for his body, which is a thing that we could make fun of if we yeah. were ever like in the same room.
What do you think?
Dude, so I was thinking like Titanic era Billy Zane.
Ooh, Billy Zane is Luke Wampus.
Billy Zane is Luke
Billy
Wampus.
Billy Zane like, is Luke Wampus.
Handsome, like hot, but in a very boring way, and in a way that would be easy for us to mock. I like Titanic Billy Zane as Luke Wampus in our picture.
When I forgot about Titanic, let me backpedal on that Winona Ryder
yeah.
and say, what's her name? Kate Winslet. Kate
there
Winslet
you go.
For Aaron.
Baby, you cannot go wrong with that one, yeah. man. That's a great one. That's a slam dunk.
And if she's not available, the lady that played the love interest on Happy Gilmore, remember her?
I don't, dude. Was she anybody? Like,
nah,
like...
not really. She had a super 80s haircut in that, but despite okay. that... She had a lot of charisma and okay. was super cute. So, you know, she just needed a little bit of a new haircut. And then I think she might have been on the blonder end of the spectrum, so she needed a little dye job.
There you go.
Because well, you hey. And I, we're gentlemen who prefer brunettes.
That's right. Although, to be clear, in 2019, discrimination-wise, we don't see hair color.
Oh, I don't actually, even care if they're women. You know, it's all...
yeah, hey,
I wouldn't even,
you know?
I wouldn't even dare to say that someone's a woman.
I don't see, yeah, I don't see any kind of, I've actually, like, retrofitted my eyes with a thing where, like, they don't see distinctions of any kind, so.
For all I know, my son is, like, a 97-year-old Asian woman in a wheelchair. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's
he's not, though, spoilers. Like,
how do you know?
I've met your, well, because I've met him, and I feel like he isn't, but I don't know, I could be wrong, too, you know? who are any of us to say? That's the thing. Oh,
sounds
all right,
like a
baby.
Good movie.
It sounds like a great movie. I would go and see that. I'd go see that picture like right now for sure.
Kevin Thompson says, "Ted, will you come on my podcast?"
Dude, what can you tell me about Kevin's podcast?
Anything? It is called the Basic Bible Podcast. If it's the guy I'm thinking of, and if I think it is, and if it's the guy I'm thinking of, then I have been on that podcast.
You have. How was it?
It was all right.
Yeah, nice. Big listenership, you think? Big audience? Is this going to, like,
it's,
move me forward career-wise?
If it's, again, I think it's the same guy.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who had me on his podcast, like, right when my book, Playing Saint, came out. It was a different yeah. podcast.
Yeah, okay.
And he was like, listen, I got about 21 or 22 downloads per ep
okay.
so far. And I was like, well, all right, sure. Because he was a gut check listener. And I was like, yeah, sure, all right. So we do like 40 minutes of talking about the book.
Yeah.
A good 3 days later, I get an email. Oh, I'm so sorry. I wasn't recording. Can we do it again?
Oh my gosh, dude.
To which I replied, like, not at all.
You're like, you know what? This is a man after our own heart. See, sounds like one of us.
I did not have to do it. But then years later, when my Cobra Kai and Sanctification book came out, Gut Check Press 2018.
Yeah, dude, that was real recent then.
Yeah, and he had like come up with a new podcast called the Basic Bible Podcast that actually it's got some juice.
Okay.
Yeah, people are going on it and guesting and talking about it. There's some Twitter presence. It's an interesting little podcast. I mean, it's not like leveling way up from Gut Check to go on, you know, whatever, like Al Mohler's The Briefing or something, but
yeah. Well, I mean, if Al Mohler is listening, let me just say this. I will do Al Mohler's The Briefing and Kevin's podcast.
All right.
It's a blanket yes for both of those podcasts. So Mohler's Brass, and I know they're listening, Zach. You know, they can reach out to me to schedule, and also Kevin. So if you've done his program, then it's good enough for me to do, and I will look forward to doing it.
Well, here's a question from Stephen L. Trogi. It says, will you do my podcast? No, I'm kidding. That's not real.
Between the time that I commit to it and actually going on it, it'll probably have folded. So I feel like I can say it's a pretty low commitment yes for me to say yes to that.
Hey, let me make a little announcement here.
Sure.
While we're in a lull between questions.
Yeah.
I just sent out an update on the Kickstarter for the Ted Kluck essay collection called A Hard Thing on a Beautiful Day. And I acknowledged that we were shooting for the July 1, 2019 release.
Yeah.
And that is like 5 or 6 days away.
Yeah.
That's about when this is going to drop. So that's not happening. We're actually going to have a release date online for sale August 15th.
Love it.
And
love it,
you should get your signed copies and your swag about then or a little before that you kickstarted. So, with that, I wanted to tell you something.
Let me again say thank you to all the people that kickstarted. Like, that's truly, and this is 0% like snark or irony. That's really awesome that people did that.
Well,
really
all of the people but one, Ted.
Okay.
Because I got an email.
Oh, no.
It said,
here we go.
One of your backers has disputed their pledge.
Okay.
Underneath
great.
It says Linda, I'll say Linda E, protect your anonymity. Linda E's pledge for $30, Ted Kluck essay collection, open dispute.
What does mean? She just wants her money back.
She wants her money, but she can have her money back. We don't care. But like, why would you, what changed her mind? Like, I mean, dude, was it something you said in the interim or?
It might have been. Maybe it was something I said on like one of my other podcasts or I don't know, something I wrote in my column. But
I want to know how common that is, though. Like, for someone to
that's depressing. I feel saddened by that. I really do. I don't know what's going on there.
So Linda, you broke his heart. Good job,
dude. Now my favorite aunt is named Linda, and I wonder. And it's Linda E. So
okay, now we're gonna cut this out. But what's your last name? It's the one.
Really?
Yes.
Like, as far as I know, we're on really good terms. Okay, well, that makes more sense. Like, maybe she just didn't realize what she was doing. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. This is mysterious to me.
Is she your second favorite aunt now, or what's going
on? No, I don't know what's going on. I feel like I need to like contrive some reason to reach out to her to make sure we're okay. You know.
Also, one more announcement: TedKluck.com no longer leads to a site that. What did it have? It had Ku Klux Klan.
Wow, that's great.
That's what made me like make it happen. I called you. I got you on the horn along with the company that was in control of that domain. I was like, we got to stop this.
Because basically like the CEO of that company. I mean, it was a high-level business meeting that moment.
But TedKluck.com has become a very bare-bones place where you can just click on Ted's Amazon page and see whatever is latest in his books. Mm-hmm. That takes care of itself. You can click over to a brief bio, which we'll update every once in a while.
Yeah.
You can click over to there's a thing that says social media, and I've got four Twitter feeds all just embedded next to each other. Gut
Incredible.
Check, Happy Rant, Ted Kluck quotes, and Silverdome movie.
Nice.
And then I guess I don't remember. There's a couple other little things. So just so you know, that's there. And we're no longer supporting the Ku Klux Klan. So I think just because like it must have an algorithm that like takes like Ted Cluck and like mix all other words out of it. But I
think it's because I have the letters KLU in my last name.
Yeah, or it looked like someone was misspelling Ku Klux, or I don't know.
Dude, I gotta tell you, and because of the miracle of technology, I'm navigating to this website in my studio. It's a good looking website, baby. It's really good looking. It's simple. And it's a very popular internet website now. So I feel really happy that it's out there. And the thanks goes entirely to you. Like, you're the guy that made this happen for me. So
And it's all thanks to Zach's is it OCD or what that makes me every once in a while think about the fact that our books and in fact your books that aren't Gut Check books all say on the bio on the back, read more about them or learn more about them on www.tedcluck.com. And I'm over here going, but it doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. It just was like, it was like a pebble in my shoe.
Dude, I think that's OCD, and I'm glad you care at that level. I really am, because I do not, but I'm glad.
I know. I'm here to care for you, Ted.
I know. I need people to care for me. And by that, I don't mean like directly care for me. I mean, just like do all the caring for me.
Care on your behalf.
On my behalf. Yeah. That was the phrase I was looking for. I love that.
All right, we've got more questions, and I'm going to keep them coming. Colleen Wagoner says, how is Kristen? And by the way, everyone who mentions Kristen in these questions spells her name wrong. So
yeah, oh, for sure. Wonderful. Yep. how is Kristen? Okay. Kristen is great.
Colleen Wager.
Yeah, Kristen's doing really well. She's got her own catering business down here, so she's doing some catering. She's doing personal chefing. She actually has a very popular internet website. And hers is Bespoke Kitchen Tennessee.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
KK's got an internet presence here?
Yeah,
I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, let me bring it up. It's actually Bespoke, B-E-S-P-O-K-E, Kitchen, standard kitchen spelling, TN.com. So Bespoke Kitchen TN.com. Little website we threw together. Has some food photography on it, hipster food photography, and a little bit about KK. Very cute picture of KK, man. Very, very cute there at the bottom of the homepage. And there it is. I hope, you know, given the global worldwide listenership of this program, we probably just, like, will be flooding KK with
it's going to crash the server. Yeah,
it's going to crash the server, so be ready for that. But
you know what I might do, Ted?
What?
I might update the Gut Check website so that when you click on the Saucy Broad, instead of going to blogspot.saucybroad.com or whatever hasn't been updated since 2009,
there you go.
Will instead go to that.
There you go.
And you should make sure her book is for sale there on that site.
Baby, that's a great internet strategy thing we just did right there. I love that. You and I we're getting stuff done today.
We are indeed.
This is really good. So Colleen, thanks for the question. KK is doing really well. And she has a website now. So I guess that's the news. That's the big news.
What's up with your family? My wife has a website.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, no, she's doing great. I mean, she's doing really well. She's happy. She's big into her cooking. She's catering a wedding this weekend. So, you know, she's busy with all that stuff. But yeah, I'm proud of her.
Nice. In fact, there's an essay, Colleen, if you want to pick up Ted's book when it drops next month or a month and a half, called I'm Proud of My Wife by Ted Cluck. Yeah,
there it is.
And it's a heartwarming little piece of writing. So, all right, Joseph Bartlett again.
Okay.
Where are you? You know what? Maybe we should have the rules like at youth group when it's like everyone has to get one piece of pizza before anyone gets a second piece.
Exactly. Joseph Bartlett was the guy with like 4 prayer requests in a row at youth group. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like the guy with the Jesus fish tattoo is like, okay, anybody got anything else? And he raises his hand again, you know?
One more thing. I'm afraid I'm going too far.
I forgot before. How far?
They're all like humble brags though.
Exactly.
I'm finding all my meaning and my popularity.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really stressed out at school because so many girls want to go to prom with me. You know, that old thing.
And on top of everything else, I got swim practice and play practice. It's nuts.
Oh, no.
Will Watson, if you were the GM of the Mariners, what moves would you make to bring a championship to Seattle?
Will Watson, tip of the cap to you as a I assume, a fellow Mariners fan. So I'm enjoying Mariners baseball this year, even though they're in a rebuild. So their GM, who I have a lot of respect for, Jerry DePoto, kind of taking a beating on social media right now because he's traded away a lot of their good older players in favor of bringing in like prospects, like high end kind of younger players. So they're losing some now, but I actually think the long term outlook is good. And to answer Will's question, I think we need one or two marquee arms in our pitching rotation. So I actually like our rotation. I like the pitchers that we have. But I think we need one or two like elite arms, elite velocity guys. We got a lot of like guys who just throw kind of junk. They're kind of in the mid 80s, the high 80s. They can locate their pitches really well, but I think we need a guy who throws fast. So that's my assessment of the Mariners' future. But otherwise, I like all the moves that we've made. I'm enjoying watching our young guys this year. J.P. Crawford has been nice. Malik Smith, Shed Long. These are names that don't mean anything to you, Zach. But
no, I'm tracking with you, man.
Yeah, but they will mean some stuff to Will Watson if he's a Mariners fan. He'll know exactly who I'm talking about. So there you have it.
Nice. And speaking of Willie situations, I've got two Tyson-related questions.
Willie Watson situations. Yeah.
Cody Schweikert asks.
Code.
This is a great question. Okay. John McClain and Ted Kluck step into the octagon with Mike Tyson in his prime.
Okay.
Can they take him?
Absolutely not. I think Tyson in his prime would destroy me and John McClain. And that's no disrespect to John McClain. I assume we're
or family,
about,
if you're listening.
Yeah, or his family, the McClains. Holly, if they're still on good terms. Zach, do you think they're together? Do you think
they're
in
not?
2019,
they established that, man.
That we've established that, or they have?
No, they have in the sequels, sadly.
Dude, what did we find out? They're not together, are they?
In part three with a vengeance, at the end, he calls and she answers, and they're totally estranged. She's in L.A., he's in New York still, and he like has an epiphany about how to catch the bad guys, and he just leaves her hanging, and she curses at him. And then in Live Free or Die Hard, which is one that I really like, even though a lot of people don't, at the beginning, he's like kind of hovering around his daughter, kind of helicopter parenting while she's at college, and from his discussion with her, it's clear that he hasn't seen Holly Gennaro in quite some time.
Maybe that's a shame.
It is.
Dude, do you think we could...
Bonnie Bedelia could use the work.
Do you think we could bring them back together? Do you think we should write that essay where...
We're a white paper away, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm going to white paper away on that one. And also, I think I could matchmake them, Zach. Do you know that I have a little side hobby of matchmaking people at my campus?
Really? Have you successfully gotten anyone together, like in the covenant of marriage?
So there was a guy.
No.
Yeah, there was a guy in my class. They're engaged now, so this is a story that has a nice ending. And this guy, he was a little bit older for like a traditional undergrad, but not too much older. Maybe he's like 21, 22, something like that. But he was taking like my 100-level journalism class fall of this last school year. And he kept getting these calls in class, and I'm like, baby, who is it? And he's like, baby, it's my hairdresser. And he's like, we were longtime like childhood friends, and now we're just kind of like buds, like she cuts my hair. I'm like, dude, well, why don't you have her into class? Like she's always calling during class time. Why don't you just bring her in? Like tell her she's welcome to drop by. Lo and behold, she drops by class. They have this like massive connection that they make. And they end up dating, they end up going out, now they're engaged. Isn't that nice?
It is. Dude, you must feel good.
I feel like I could do the same thing for Holly Gennaro and John McClane. And that the point of connection would have to be, there would have to be a building, like a big 80s-style building that gets overrun by terrorists. And then John McClane could again save his wife's life. Because I feel like that's their thing. You know what I mean?
What if like you called back like that journalist that she punched?
Exactly. Call him back. He's probably like 94 now, but she could punch him again.
Yeah, your common enemy situation.
I feel like their relationship is really only working when all those things are in place. But it wouldn't be that hard to make all those things happen, you know?
Well, you'd have to sacrifice yourself, ultimately, by becoming a terrorist.
That's true. Hostage terrorist, terrorist hostage. You're studying dualities. I love it, baby. I love it.
So the second Tyson question is from James Sayer.
Okay.
Do you think Mike Tyson would have beaten Larry Holmes if they were somehow able to meet in their respective primes?
Dude, now this is an interesting question. That's actually a really good deep dive boxing question because I feel like people who are savvy boxing fans really appreciate Larry Holmes. And I appreciate Larry Holmes. He was a heavyweight kind of in that like post-Ali, pre-Tyson moment where people weren't super excited about the heavyweight division, but Holmes could actually really fight. He had an incredible... jab. His jab was maybe like the best jab, arguably, in the history of the heavyweight division. And Holmes was a really crafty fighter. He had a bad body, so like he wasn't going to scare you like getting off the bus or anything. But he had a really good jab. He was really crafty. Tyson destroyed him, but it was definitely like post-prime Larry Holmes. So this wasn't like good Larry Holmes that we're talking about. Still, though, I think prime Tyson, prime Larry, it's still Tyson by a knockout, but I think it goes a little bit longer. And I think Larry makes a fight out of it, but still Tyson... Prime Tyson was hard to hit. He was really fast. He was really overwhelming. I think it's still Tyson, but it's closer.
Let me ask you a follow-up question.
Sure.
What you just did was based on a bunch of stuff, data, a lot of film you've watched, what mm-hmm. you know about people, but also just kind of like gut, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Do you think that someone who knows boxing doing that is more accurate than one of these like stupid like computer simulation things?
Dude, that's a great question. Because the computer simulation things, don't they ultimately run on like kind of the same logic? They run on, okay, we've got films of prime Holmes, films of prime Tyson. We got all this like knockout data and punches landed and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they're kind of doing the same thing. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the simulations are kind of the same. So yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think my gut is probably as accurate. So the big one that they actually did by computer was Rocky Marciano versus Muhammad Ali. So like Marciano retired or died even, man, boxing historians are going to kill me for this, but Marciano never lost. Right. And I think he retired before he passed away. Versus prime Ali, who did fight too long, who ended up taking some losses at the end of his career. And I've got the documentary, man, and I've watched it, but for the life of me, I can't remember who they had coming out on top in that one. But
so you must not have fully bought into it, or you would remember, because you would have almost treated it like it was a real fight.
I don't really buy into those things, man. They don't really interest me that much, just because, I mean, if it can't really happen, like, kind of who cares? I don't know. I appreciate all these fighters, though. That's the thing. When I think of prime Larry Holmes, I have like warm, appreciative feelings. When I think of prime Tyson, I have very appreciative feelings. Same with Ali. Like, I just like fighters and I like boxing and I want to think the best of all these guys. So maybe like, and I hope Larry Holmes, when he, you know, sort of remembers his career wistfully, I hope he thinks, yeah, I could have taken Tyson in my prime. You know, that's the feeling I want him to have.
Nice.
Yeah. And Larry Holmes, if you're listening, and I know you are, the Holmes family, you know, they're probably all gathered around the hearth back in Easton, Pennsylvania, just listening to every word of the Gut Check podcast.
Did you interview him for Facing Tyson?
I'm trying to think, man. I think I talked to him on the phone, but he declined an interview because he had his own book project going.
Okay.
And I don't know whatever became of that book. I never read it, so maybe it never hit the shelves. But yeah, he was a little hard to pin down.
Dude, my favorite part about that book is when you are trying to get into the gym.
Yeah.
And thinking about the amount of money that you've spent so far.
Yeah.
And that's a great book, Ted.
Dude, that was Joe Frazier's gym.
Yeah, yeah. And in
Philly. And I pulled up to the curb, and this was still like I had a cell phone. And I called up there and the guy said that I couldn't get in, and it ended up that was just Joe Frazier screwing with me. So I got like to quote Ashton Kutcher in the early 2000s, I got punked by Joe Frazier. And then he came down and he let me in and he was super nice. So that was
like, you were like, I set this up with Marvis, and he was like, that doesn't how that works.
Or yeah. It's like, not how that works. He's like, that's not a thing. You got to talk to the PR guy. And I'm like, there's no way this place is employing a PR guy. There's no way.
Oh, that's
Joe
awesome.
Frazier.
Was that where does that rank in your books that you've written as far as like just pleasant memories and love
Dude,
of
that,
the book?
That whole book is a pleasant memory, honestly. Like that ranks pretty highly. That's way up there. I don't know if it's Apex Mountain. I don't know if it's number one, but it's pretty high up there.
What are the odds you're going to do a sabbatical at some point and write another one of those? Go all over the place, track down all sorts of athletes or something, you know, like kind of like thematic book.
Well, dude, I don't know if I'll ever get a sabbatical. I'm no Ronnie Martin. I mean, that guy gets a sabbatical like every 2.5 weeks. So if I was Ronnie, I'd be on one right now. I'd probably be writing that book. But yeah, in lieu of me becoming a Sojourn pastor and then having a sabbatical like every month and a half, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's going to happen. It would be fun if it did, though. And let me ask you this. If that were to happen, like, what's the deep dive thing that you would want me to, like, go all over the country writing about? Do you have any thoughts on that? And I'll be upfront in saying I'm probably just going to steal the idea, because I'm not so big on the ideas anymore, man. I think I'm all out of good ones, but I'm happy to steal other people's ideas.
See, here's the thing, Ted. Your books, I'm never like, oh yeah, I've always wanted to read a book about that. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they're usually something that comes out of a really idiosyncratic thing that you're into. I think it would be interesting if you somehow used the helmet thing that you're super into. The sort of MacGuffin for a journey discovery type book or something.
Dude, I kind of love that. That's fascinating. And only you would think of that, because only you really like know and appreciate my old man hobbies.
Dude, an old man based book is got to be your next big project.
Dude, yes. Some book on like old manhood, aging, but not in a depressing way. Like a fun. What if you and I, okay, so this would be a joint project. What if you and I like crisscrossed the globe interviewing the awesomest old men and like doing the things that they do? And some of the old men would be famous, but other old men would just be like great old men that we know who are really good at like puttering or like mowing their lawns or like just talking.
So it's all different categories of old men.
Different categories of awesome old men. We crisscross the globe to figure out like what makes somebody an awesome old man.
Pretty sure that hasn't been written yet. I think we ought to do it.
I don't think it has, man. I want to write that. So listen,
publishing industry. So we talked to like the guy who's like playing mahjong in a tea house. We talked to the guy that's to the Norm who's sitting on his Norm Peterson on his stool watching the game at Cheers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we do the things with them.
Absolutely, we do. It's participatory, so it's like on the ground immersion journalism. We do the things with the awesome old man. So we're playing like a round of chess in the park in New York City. We're doing the barstool thing at Cheers with the Norm figure.
We're going to a bunch of garage sales.
Dude, right. We're garage sailing. We're doing lawn stuff. We're puttering. And these have to be like, they got to be a certain kind of old man. See, so it can't be, they can't be jaded, horrible, like burned up old men. They got to be hopeful. You know what I mean? They got to be like hopeful, kind, like generous old men, the kinds that we endeavor to be. So if you're that kind of old man or you know that kind of old man, reach out to the program. This is step one of the book proposal process. And if you're in the publishing industry, and I know you are, if you want to see this book written, reach out to Zachary or myself. We're ready to do this.
It's basically, I've already just written the proposal.
Exactly. So
and
all we
have
do
other
is,
offers, so act quickly.
That's right. We got
I
other
just heard back.
Basically, we have a bidding war at this point for this project.
Dude, you laugh. This actually could be super fun.
Dude, it would be so fun. I'm not even laughing. Like, I'm laughing at how like awesome it would be. Like, I would do this book in a heartbeat. This is the only book I want to do right now. I don't want to do any other writing project except this one.
Ted, my question was the best one.
Which question?
The one I just asked now.
The one you just said. It was the best one.
That we just answered with that answer.
It was the best one. Yeah, absolutely it was. Absolutely it was. Baby, we've gone like over an hour here. I just now looked at the clock. Let me
finish him off and go quick. Ready?
Finish him off. Yeah.
Brian Lanning asks a not so great question, in my opinion.
Okay.
How about just a regular page for people who enjoyed your company before you became, quote, someone? And I think by your company, he doesn't mean Gut Check Press. He means just being with you.
My company, Big C Company, you know, corporate, or just being with me. So I gotta tell you, Brian Lanning was a high school classmate of mine. Really good dude. Probably doesn't know that I got off Facebook because it was like low-key ruining my life, and I can't like be on there lest I be like tempted into all kinds of sin stuff. So yeah, to Brian, he's gonna have to be satisfied with a Facebook page that's administered by my best friend Zach Bartles. I think that's as close as I'm gonna get to being back on Facebook. But I'll tell you this, I also miss hanging out with Brian Lanning, and I love that he still thinks about that. So,
well, does the guy have your phone number? I mean, he could give you a call.
I don't think he does, man, because it's literally been like decades since we've hung out in the same room. And I think back when I had Facebook like a decade ago, like right before I got off, you know, it was the kind of thing where we would chat on Facebook from time to time. And that was his way of like getting in touch with me or like keeping track of me. But yeah, I would love to hear from Brian Lanning via email. So if he's listening, he can drop me an email and we can catch up, man. That would be great. Yeah.
It's easy to find your email address.
Yeah, for sure.
And that you are a public dude. Okay, yeah. Cody Schweikert again. I've given him a second one because this is the best question of all time.
Okay, lay it
on.
Would
you rather consume an energy drink flavored cigar or a cigar flavored energy drink?
Whoa.
That's better than my question.
That's
Cody
a great
wins.
Question. Actually, this one's easy. Energy drink flavored cigar.
Yes.
Because I don't think I would like to drink the flavor of a cigar. In fact, that like kind of ignites the gag reflex in me, and I feel like I want to retch a little bit when I think about it. But an energy drink flavored cigar, I got to be honest, I would do that all day long.
That's like an infused cigar, like a Monster infused.
Yeah, like Acid would put that out. You know what I mean? Acid,
they already do.
Cigar company, they probably already have one. Yeah, they would put
it's
that
a
out.
Team up.
Absolutely. I love it.
Sarah Freely,
huh?
This must be someone you know because this is obviously just an inside joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Where can I buy high-end chocolates in Ashland, Ohio?
Drug Mart. Drug Marte. So, yeah, she went to grad school with me. So she was in my MFA program at Ashland University. Great lady, very talented writer, very cool lady. And, Ashland had this weird I got a story that I – probably can't tell in the air about it, but it's got this weird place.
Is it rated X here? Let's hear this.
No,
here.
It's not. But I think I accidentally went on a gay date with somebody. Like there was a guy in our program who I think in retrospect may have been gay, and he was like, "Let's go to the Drug Mart and get some wine and some dark chocolate." And
he
like,
would have known you weren't though. You know, it's here's a little known fact: gay people do have like friends.
Yeah, they do. But like, but the whole thing about like. So I went back and I told some people this story and they're like, wait a minute. he was like red wine and dark chocolate.
Oh,
and yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. He, you know, no hard feelings. Doesn't matter to me. But yeah. So you know what? I'm probably overthinking it. dude.
Now, how the world did it happen that you went to school in this small town in Ohio, little college town, and then both Ronnie Martin and Stephen El Trogi ended up living there afterward? Is that too big a coincidence? What's going on?
Dude, it's so weird, man. It's totally just random chance is all it is. You know, there's no explanation for it at all.
So, like Ronnie was like, I mean, I don't think the last part is totally random, but like the Ronnie part.
Yeah, the last part definitely isn't totally just random.
He put out like a feelers for a ministry job, and it happened upon this same town where you were going for 2 weeks every semester resident and doing all this work and everything.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Completely crazy.
And
you're
crazy.
You're like totally cutting out now. Like I'm losing you for a second.
So are you. I guess it's the world telling us to end.
I guess it is, man. I guess it is. Is that the end of the questions?
There's two more from Turk, one from Dave Mitchell, another one from Joseph Bartlett. We'll hit them one per ep for the next four eps.
Yeah, dude. We'll do several more Q&A eps. I love this. Baby, this has been a lot of fun, and I feel like it's been productive in that we've like hatched a new book idea in the time that it took us to do this episode.
Brainstorming 101.
I've apparently alienated my aunt somehow, so I got to go fix that. We got to do our book proposal, so we got a lot of things to do now, man. We got a lot on our plate. This has been the Gut Check Podcast. We have wandered to and fro, and we will see you next time.